To the Vinnie Eastwood Show. I'm sure that it's been absolutely excruciating being away from us the whole weekend. Good morning, people. An interesting conversation with the dude I met at Uncensored Conference a couple of weeks back. And a conversation we had last night, we were talking about, he started out the conversation asking, Vinnie, tell me some solutions, though. You know, everybody talks about the problems, but what's the solution? And I said, solutions? Anyone who asks for solutions is probably not going to be part of the solution. The New World Order is a multifaceted agenda that affects every sector in society. Pick an issue and resist it, and then you're part of the solution. All right? Education system, for example, part of the New World Order totally. So any school teacher that shows loose change to their students is part of the solution. The radio industry, completely corrupt to the core, totally New World Order controlled. So any radio host that talks about the New World Order and how to resist them, or even resist them at all, is part of the solution. I mean, unless you make yourself part of the solution, there won't be any. It's pretty straightforward. Nobody's going to, put your diapers on for you. Nobody. You have to make the decision yourself about what part you want to play. Okay? Pretty much, that's about it. Because, let's face facts here. There's nobody that has ever existed throughout the entirety of history that has accomplished anything by sitting around doing nothing. And if there is, I've not heard about them because they didn't bother to get up and write themselves down in a history book. Good morning, Will.
Morning, Vinny. I totally agree. I disagree with one point there you made. Any teacher who shows loose change will join the unemployment queue.
Oh, yeah, and I'm sure while they're unemployed, they'd have to figure out what other part of the solution they can play.
Actually, one that didn't play into the hands of Rothschild social welfare credit. Anyway.
Yeah. I love Rothschild social credit. the enslavement. Speaking of enslavement, we now have a new mayor in Auckland. It was a stolen election from old Len Brown, the fabulous commie representative of the false left-right paradigm, now in charge of our city to help sell us off to multinational corporations like Veolia, who aren't helping much out in the Gulf. We'll be right back. The way it's going. Welcome back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Oh, yes. Welcome back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on American Freedom Radio. It's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and, incidentally, the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com. cruise in there, you can listen to the live streams. And I was also having another conversation with people yesterday. It's like, I wanted to talk about the podcast as well, the Vinnie Eastwood Show podcast, which some of you may have noticed is no longer there. And there's a reason for that. We did a heck of a lot of abusive stuff on that podcast. It's very rude, very crude, plenty of coarse language. And in fact, it was so offensive that we had to censor it. And I did not come to this decision lightly. Now we still archive the radio shows that we do, and they're there at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com /archives.html, I believe. And cut out all the ads for you, so you can just like listen straight on through. And at a later stage, we'll be kind of re-releasing the podcast, perhaps when it's safer. and even change the format a little. Kind of wanted to talk about censorship. And people didn't realise that the podcast wasn't actually the show. Not in New Zealand, anyway. Kiwis, unsurprisingly, aren't bright enough, or rather, not cultured enough, if you can even call that culture, knowing the difference between a radio show and a podcast. That was the confusion. So naturally, anybody who was listening to the podcast or was swearing and whatnot might have been somewhat ticked off and offended and possibly harassed my co-host Will. Isn't that right, bro? But life goes on, and it's not like we're off air or anything, is it? And we're still having fun, and all the extra time that we're using during the podcast, we're instead going to be putting into other wee projects.
Well, look, all the scum still have to put up with us for 2 hours, so, I hope that still grates on them.
Yeah. I mean, let's hope it is like a cheese grater for the brain. Yeah, that's the Vinnie Eastwood show. It's the cheese grater for the brain. Fertilize your lawn with the show. Grind of bones to make my bread. Now, we've got the old private prisons, cash-strapped states resurrect debtors' prisons. You heard of this? Bank accounts for 17% of the GDP in the USA 3 years ago. Now they account for 60% of the GDP while Americans go to prison. Two reports published by NYU's Brennan Center for Justice and the American Civil Liberties Union, the ACLU, reveal a rising trend of patently unconstitutional practices in cash-strapped states, where a growing number of impoverished people are jailed for being unable to pay their legal fees, including charges for use of public defenders, a guaranteed right in the United States. The resurgence of these draconian debtors' prisons has been documented in at least 13 of the 15 states with the largest prisons populations in the country, including California, Arizona, Michigan, and Alabama. Incarcerating people simply because they cannot afford to pay their legal debts is not only unconstitutional, but also a devastating impact upon men and women whose only crime is that they are poor, said ACLU senior staff attorney Eric Balaban. And reminds me of a film I saw yesterday called Psy War. And if you go to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, it's Vinnie with a Y, by the way, preferably Google search it so that it starts to come up on the analytics. you can have a look at that full film, Psy War. And the basic premise of the ruling structure that we got here, right, is something that disproportionately benefits the oligarchs and what I might term to be kleptocrats, governance by thieves. They make sure that those with little power, like the average person, for example, can't think or retain any power. And in the vast majority of cases, the great lie is that if you're, you know, work hard enough, you'll make something of yourself. Simply not true. I know heaps of people that bust themselves, you know, work themselves to death just in order to keep their heads above water. You know, people don't realize that the system is rigged. It was made by people who want to protect their inheritance, want to protect their private property, and want to protect their corporate domination. All right? Large amounts of the huddled, seething masses of society don't have huge amounts of assets like that. So society is not meant to be governed or run for the benefit of the majority. It's for the small elite minority, in point of fact.
Yeah, that's a real simple sort of theory, isn't it, Vinny? And I worked that out long before I worked out the proper stuff and become a truther. But like, I could see that when I was 15, 16, I was like, yeah, there's some wealthy people out there. They're getting wealthier. For them to be getting wealthier, a lot of other people have to be getting poorer at the same time, because there's a finite amount of money. But back then, I didn't know they could make an infinite amount of money. But it still plays into that same model. It still doesn't make it better for the average person. They can make you all billionaires. That's right. They'll make you all billionaires, but your currency will be worth rupees. Even ordinary millionaires, you go and ask them down the street, ordinary millionaires say, oh, a proper millionaire in New Zealand these days is someone who's got about 6 million liquid. Because of how the distinction of millionaire became so accessible through inflation. But that aside, you know, for someone to be getting wealthier, a lot of other people had to be getting poorer, and that means any one point in time, at least on a wage disparity scale, the world is getting worse. Sorry to say, for you new agers out there, we like to think the world's getting better at any one point in time. Da-da-da-da-da. Mary Poppins loves you.
I disagree, Will. I think that the world is getting better and worse at the same time.
Well, I agree. I'm just saying in that little tiny measurement.
Of course.
Of wage and of inequality, basically. And it's growing by the day, sure. Because it's
growing
it
exponentially.
Has to, I mean, because... You know, the average person doesn't own the Federal Reserve.
And the income done by banks 3 years ago was 17%. Now it's 60%. All right? Where do you think all the rest of the GDP and wealth went? Who was it? I think it was it Bloomberg or some other fabulous financial institution that said that close to 60% of the world's wealth has been destroyed.
Well, it
hasn't been destroyed. It's been consolidated.
Said 45% has been destroyed as of January 2009. It hasn't been destroyed.
In a little over a year, right? A little over a year, 45% of the world's wealth has been destroyed. Don't you find that absolutely amazing? It used to be that 90% of the world's wealth was in the hands of the top 10%. Now it's in the hands of the top 1%. Right? Do the maths. It's going to become even more tyrannical, more serf-like, and you will become more enslaved.
I think it's actually 95% and 1% sands. Yeah.
It's even worse.
Yeah. No, it's absolutely incredibly top-heavy.
Yeah.
But these 1% guys aren't anyone you know. Really. Unless you're connected or up there in elite circles, the majority of people out there, that 1% isn't the guy down the road with a Mercedes and a big house. Don't blame him. No. This is real wealth. People need to get away from that too. People need to get away from going, oh, there's a guy in the fancy part of town. He's consolidating the world's wealth. No. These are like one or two people in New Zealand type of wealth. This is like a couple of thousand people in the United States kind of wealth, you know?
Yeah. I mean, elite people have always tried to dominate their subjects, you know, and this is as true in Babylon as it is today. You know, I always say that there's nothing new under the sun, and history just basically keeps on repeating itself because so many people out there are so frickin' dumbed down by the education system, mainstream media propaganda, that it's impossible for them to figure out. Right, but this is we're on a big wave right now in the truth movement as it rises to prominence, as people cancel their cable and start tuning into the Vinnie Eastwood show with Will, the elite bankster scumbags who would seek to enslave us all are not happy about it. They're not happy about the fact that they spend what some odd hundreds of billions of dollars, I believe $200 billion a year is currently spent on just straight PR firms, not including all the bribed mainstream media, not including all the military psyop intelligence agents that are working in CBS, NBC, etc., 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 alphabet soup.
So people say the problem is greed. You know, some of our friends over here in New Zealand who pretend to be activists like Bomber Bradbury would say, well, that's just a consequence of greed and absolute capitalism. When really, you know, greed's always going to exist, so you can just take that as a given. Just like murderers are always going to exist, just take that as a given. But what you should be looking is looking at breaking down avenues for the murderers to exploit people. And so instead of trying to understand the banking system and understand things like the Glass-Steagall Act and Bretton Woods and everything else, you just let them break down boundaries. Well, they started with breaking down usury in 1648. They started with issuing interest upon their loans. To the point where, if you go and ask the average person on the street, why does a bank charge interest? Isn't it illegal? They'll say they have to. How else does a bank make money? I even had a bank manager say that to me after an hour-long conversation.
Oh.
The scumbag's now got a promotion. But I mean, like,
how do they make money without interest? How do they make money without interest? I mean, and here's the thing. Every single dollar that goes into a bank account is worth something, okay? And then whilst it's inside your bank account, they then borrow it, more or less, to buy other stuff and invest, okay? They don't actually need interest in any way, shape, or form in order to make a profit, okay? Interest is an enslavement tool.
They have huge capital via all the people who trust in them. Trust in them, because you have to have a bank account in this country, in most Western countries, to have a job, to even get paid. My last contracting job, I said, can I just get paid cash? I said, no, you have to, for tax purposes, you have to have a... You know what I mean? There's no voluntarism.
Yeah.
James Burns wants, you know what I mean? I totally agree with James. You know, but there's no voluntarism in this society. It's force. It's all friendly, it's all kind, it's all nice until you actually get down to business. And then you realize it's force, it's prisons, it's vaccines, it's death. You know what I mean? Like, they just won't let you get away. And people say, hey, don't make your life hard. Just go along with it. Look, you can't change things like that. Look, there's no point. You can't change it. That's the system. And then on the other hand, they're saying, all you need to do is work hard, son, and you'll get anything you want in life. Then they're saying, you can't change that. What a load of hypocrite scum. And they expect me to actually, you know, to swallow that crap and live with that. You know?
Oh, you should just be happy with being a slave, Will. I mean, come on.
10 years ago I worked that out. 10 years ago. How much that grates with you to see adults believing in that and you're growing up going, hey, am I wrong, and double thinking yourself all the time, double checking yourself, going, am I really wrong about this? Am I getting the wrong end of the stick? Because you have to question yourself too. You can't be too righteous where you just believe your own lies like these people do.
Yep.
You know, you have to double check yourself, and I have, and I've doubled and triple checked myself. The Federal Reserve are thieves. The Bank of England are thieves. The Bank of New Zealand is a thievery corporation too. And they rent themselves out as cheap whores to Asia and Europe. And the proof of all those theories is now all around us. You know,
Speaking of which, raids on activists may indicate FBI abuse of power. This by Jana Kunichov from Truth Out Report. On the heels of a series of FBI raids on anti-war activists, an FBI whistleblower and constitutional rights group are calling out the agency for overstepping its bounds, fearing that its increased powers could infringe on First Amendment's rights and silence dissent. And this happened back in the early 1900s, I believe, under Woodrow Wilson. They had an era of busting up unions, and anybody who was basically resisting the status quo and saying, no, we don't want to go to the Great War, America needs to stay sovereign, you know, we need to have workers' rights, and we need to stop exploiting people for no good reason. And Woodrow Wilson was just like, hey, you, stop talking about that, okay? And I'm going to send the FBI into your union offices. I'm going to arrest you all, put you in jail for 20 years, and then, fantastic, no other unions rise to take their place and protect any workers' rights. Same thing happening here. Activist rights are probably one of the most important things to protect in any society because activists are patriots. Okay, people don't know the definition of a patriot is somebody who loves one's country and one's people. Okay, people think that being a patriot is about going off to war and shooting some people that don't have the same color skin as you.
I pay my taxes every year.
Yeah, it's like neo-McCarthyism. It's ridiculous.
Even if you don't want to be an activist, even if you don't want to get out there like Vinny does all the time, even if you don't, you should support the people who do. Even if you don't agree with them. Take this sucker that's now become international news, Paul Henry. Take this media darling, once media darling, effeminate guy who jokes around a lot and makes racial slurs. Now, I don't even like him, but I think he shouldn't, you know, no one should lose their job for speaking their mind, saying what they do, doing what they do in media. No one should lose their job for any of that. They should have, you know. And it's the same, in the same way, non-activists should support people like me and Vinny.
Yep. Stand up behind the people that stand up for you. You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com, and we'll be right back. Show.com and incidentally AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Right. Now, what we were talking about over the break. Oh, yes. And New Zealand's a very interesting dynamic when it comes to protesting. Only left wingers go out and do it. You know, which really frustrates people, you know, rampant right wingers like me and Will, because we get labeled as hippies and commies and that kind of stuff. Because, you know, and I can't blame the docile, flaccid, brainless, mindless, fluoride head, aspartame holes in the brain eating public. You know, because Well, I agree with them. Basically, almost every single protest done in this country is done by left-wingers and communists. You know? All the right-wingers protesting, it just ain't my bag. I'd rather become a lobbyist.
And the funny thing is, like all good things in this world, it's the opposite way from what it should be. Because the commies are protesting about what? Socialism? You know, like... They're getting what they want. They should sit at home. Minto should be happy. Go home, mate. Chill out. There is going to be a communist world dictatorship. Well, don't worry about it. Marx is going to get his way if we carry on this current trend. You know, so you guys should be sitting at home, and the right-wingers should be out with us. But yeah, you're right. The average public isn't meant to... How can they possibly discern that there's two guys in the crowd there that are right-wingers?
Oh, but they wouldn't even pick us out in the crowd, bro, because that would require rudimentary analysis.
Exactly, and analysis is paranoid. So
wearing
you can't
a
do
suit
that.
To a protest, you know, do that.
That gets that'll you attacked from both their, sides.
Yeah, that'll mess with their rationale. Wear a Masonic tie to a protest.
Just wear a Masonic regalia. Take a big dagger and all, you know.
Yeah, I mean, hey, dress up like a Scottish Islander or something, you know. For goodness sake, have some fun with the political ideology definitions of dress code out there. You know, dress up like William Wallace with blue face paint. They can take our rights, but they'll never take... Oh, wait, they've taken everything.
Take a skirt, too.
Yeah, they took me bagpipes.
Melted down the copper.
No, but seriously though,
the commies will never stand with us on that though. That it doesn't. It blew my mind, man. It's 2007. You know, I'm, how old, I can't remember, 23 years old, and I go to the first proper protest I've ever attended with a big crowd against the raids of Tuhoi, October 27th, 2007. And I go along, and it blew my mind, man. It blew my mind. I naively thought that if I said 9/11 was an inside job and showed... discontent towards the US government on that basis alone, on that simple level, that some of the commies, the proper anti-American guys would actually sort of agree with me on that level and say, yeah, they did do that as an excuse to go to war, to go and kill our Arab brothers. But no, they started yelling at me, no, it wasn't an inside job, no, you're paranoid, shut up, this is our protest, you need to shut up with that megaphone, and all this sort of stuff. Right off the bat. It's like I wasn't in their group, I wasn't in their hierarchy, I was just coming off the street with like 4 or 5 friends, and they didn't like it. And then that carried on, a couple of public meetings, they told me to shut up and stuff. Said I was a conspiracy theorist, you know what I mean? And I said to them, you're just treating me the way that the average mainstream person treats you, and you don't like it. But they couldn't see that.
Mate, hey, that's an interesting point, though, isn't it? People can't see that they're being the establishment that enslaves themselves.
They couldn't see that they're being Fox News is to everyone else, to me. You know, shutting down debate, shutting down people, labeling them unfairly.
Speaking of which, old Ahmadinejad, he talked about 9/11 being an inside job at the UN, and interestingly enough, it was actually mentioned on a TV New Zealand 7 show called Backbenchers. They had they were having the mayoral debate in Wellington, the capital of New Zealand. And he says, all right, summary for the week, blah, 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 blah. You know, a couple of other things about the miners in Ecuador or wherever the hell that is. And then he goes on to Ahmadinejad, and he says, oh, well, Ahmadinejad must have been, you know, listening to stuff on the internet a little bit too much. For goodness sake. You know, these rudimentary morons get themselves, because they're just such fabulous entertainers, into positions where they have, well, I would say disproportionate amounts of influence over the minds of men. All right? They don't deserve it because they're not patriots. They don't care about their people. They don't care about their country. They really don't. You ask any one of these mainstream media fobs if they would say something against the government if it means that they would lose their job and free their people. They wouldn't.
No way.
Because it's too freaking cowardly, and they love the lights of publicity. Me, personally, I hate the lights of publicity to a certain extent. You know? I don't want people, you know, engaged in some Vinnie Eastwood cult movement or anything like that. F off. You know? It's not about me, man. It's about my country. It's about my people. It's about our world. It's about your people and your country. Okay? Patriots all over the world. That's what it's about. Period. If you are not serving your people, if you are not serving your nation, if you don't love them both and be willing to sacrifice your time at the very least, at the most, your life, to defend those things that you hold dear, then you are a New World Order slime bag. You know, either you're intentionally helping the New World Order, or you're just doing nothing by, and then help the New World Order, because all they want is your silent, obedient consent. And I was thinking about getting a t-shirt that says, all I want is your silent, obedient consent.
You know, look, Vinny, I don't care about things like that. I'm too busy looking after my, you know, my wife and kids to pay my own bills and stuff. I don't really care about the country. They can all go to hell. Yeah. Isn't that
and
it?
And you'd be surprised, Will, that's exactly it, isn't it? People will say, and these are the three words that I hate hearing, but I hear all too often enough, I don't care.
That's actually why a lot of the mainstream media is losing ground and losing money. It's not 100%, being honest here, it's not 100% because they're all running to the internet and working out 9/11 was an inside job. No, no, no. At least half of what they're losing, they're losing to literally the ether. They're not being misdirected into some other form of entertainment or education. No, no, no. They're just going off into nothingness, and I'm really worried about those people.
People get disenfranchised by watching the media, and understandably so, because that's kind of what the media's job is, isn't it? To make you convinced that you're all alone, that nobody cares about you, that your views never get represented. You know, just like in the Super City election. Complete, total, double-take corporate sponsorship candidates, okay? It's like Barack H. O'Barry, funded by Goldman Sachs and the Federal Reserve, versus John McCain, funded by Goldman Sachs and the Federal Reserve, only half as much as Barack O'Barry. So who Barack O'Barry wins? Same dealio as the elections here in New Zealand, everywhere, okay? The corporations that fund all these candidates are the rulers of those candidates. Don't you understand that they don't care about you?
I was thinking, Vinny, you know, I was thinking, if we could get on air in New Zealand in some format, if I could only change three little things, perceptions, not anything even physical, tangible, that would be the common understanding of the definition of conspiracy theory, the common understanding of the definition of politics to include everything that affects all aspects of your life, not grey-haired men arguing all day, some chamber, I'm not interested in that either. And finally, the distinction or lack of between left and right parties. I seriously think if you could just change those three things, the rest would be history.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what PR is all about, bro. Perception management. And I'm really kind of upset by the fact that PR is so effective at telling the public what to think. That people like us who can think for ourselves are demonized, you know, by the public without even being told to demonize us. It's an automatic response. Hey, this person's challenging my false left-right paradigm. I'm going to attack them. Rawr!
That's the thing. It's just one way or another. It's just one way or another in society at the moment. Like, it's either all the fundamentals are completely co-opted and construed, and it's really, really, really bad, and they set the culture and everything, the movies, the games, the TV, everything, the music, is all theirs, or it could be completely opposite, and it could be really amazing. You know, who knows what could spring from a truly free, voluntary society? Who knows? But yeah, that's the way I see it. It's either going to be one way or the other. It's going to be quite distinct.
I think that whenever a man has power over another man's life, you know, it's going to be a bad road, okay? Because whoever's in charge will make the laws as they see fit to benefit themselves, not to benefit anyone else, because they've got power over other people, right? And people make the assumption that there's this huge benevolent elite out there who, you know, want to do nothing wrong, just want to donate their wealth to wonderful programs like vaccinating all the people in Africa and sterilize them and kill them all and give them AIDS, you know, things like that, that are just absolutely wonderful. You should really, really draw your inspiration from. The elites are predators. All right? They wouldn't be elites if they weren't. All right? A good man gives away everything that he can for the people that he believes deserve it. A bad, evil scumbag will do the direct opposite. They will take everything from the people that deserve it. Okay? They'll devalue your wages so that you can't afford to buy a house anymore, so that you will live as a perpetual rent debt slave. And they will lay you off if you become inconvenient. Much like what happened to Westpac Bank. Thousands to lose jobs in Westpac overhaul. This in from the Dominion Post on the 11th of October. Westpac Australia will cut thousands of head office and administration jobs over the next 2 years as it attempts to reduce costs and streamline the way it does business in its first big overhaul since the $12.1 billion acquisition of St. George Bank. Westpac's chief executive, Gail Kelly, has also raised the prospect that back office jobs could be sent overseas. Oh, outsourcing. Isn't that lovely? You know, it's exactly the same thing all over again. You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will, and we'll be right back at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com.
I got some so-called friends. They'll smile right to my face. All when my back is turned. They like to bury me without a trace. Oh, no, no. Oh, no, no. There's only one thing I need to know. Whose side are you on? I'm flying a JFK. My heart goes boom, boom, boom. I know that customs man. He's gonna take me to that little room. Oh, no, no.
I wanna know.
Oh, no, no.
Whose side you on, baby?
There's only one thing I need to know. Whose side you on?
Oh, yes. Welcome back to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com and AmericanFreedomRadio.com. You know what? American Freedom Radio, for goodness sake, so awesome. There's a... You know, I'm not being paid to say this, by the way. occasionally, the mood strikes me when I just can't contain my glee with how fabulous American Freedom Radio is. All right? Anybody out there who's listening to this show, this is the first show of the day. Okay? Up next, the Intel Hub. And beyond that, got copious amounts of other really, really, really good shows. Okay? Every show on this network is really good, I found. It's interesting. And I talked to somebody randomly yesterday looking for a guest, and instead I got his mate. And had a conversation for about 30 minutes. He's a New Zealander. And he listens to American Freedom Radio. He particularly likes the Jeff Rands show. And he's one of, I would wager, tens of thousands of Kiwis who listen to American Freedom Radio specifically because this kind of information and this kind of top-quality content, this kind of anti-New World Order discourse that they want to hear doesn't exist in this country. It doesn't exist, right? Hopefully, when me and Will get brought up on terrestrial radio here in New Zealand, then we can change that, you know? But then we're going to have to deal with that glass ceiling. And I can assure you, Will, we're going to get cut up for this, bro. You know, Kiwis are really, really ready for this, right? But there's still all those moronic, filthy scumbags out there who think that the left-right paradigm is real, who think that the banking system is honest, and think that you can vote in politicians who represent your views. And therefore, anybody who criticizes any of those fabulous institutions of which I've built my entire consciousness about...
True freedom and democracy.
I'm going to attack them. Free speech! I don't want that guy to speak.
We need to... I can just imagine the headlines and what they're saying right now, Vinny, you know. We need to kick these crazy conspiracy theorists off the air. They're giving New Zealand a bad reputation, both home and abroad. They've been on American radio, really, all this time? You know, just I can just... Oh, boy. Such Nazis. Honestly, they kick off a presenter for saying some just some flippant comment about an Indian person that could be interpreted as racist. So what, guys? So what? There's Nazis running around all over the place. One of them happens to be governor of California. You know, like, so what? Really, if we can't speak against Arnie being, the son of an SS officer and wearing skull and bones belt buckles on the cover of Time magazine, then you shouldn't be able to complain about someone making a comment that could be interpreted as being racist. Could be. You know? And so they literally fire people over comments that someone like Alex Jones would make, more than 10 times in one show. Like, seriously. And we'd, by that standard, we'd get kicked off in the first hearing. That's why TVNZ won't have us on the show. I mean, come on. Come on. I mean, people's tolerance level is so low, but don't they want media personalities that represent how New Zealanders feel? Even some of the slave scum, you know, they could relate to Paul Henry. They could relate to someone who's down to earth and a little bit racist. Most New Zealanders are. But no, they have to pretend that we're in this sterile nation and Big Brother decides what goes and doesn't go. There's no freedom. There's no freedom of speech.
Yeah. And I don't know about you, bro, but after the election... when they elected Stolen Brown, I got depressed. Like, seriously. It was like I'd been hit with this tsunami wave of disenfranchisement. You know? And no wonder people have stopped voting. You know, what was it? 27% voter turnout in this election? Something around that region? Yeah. You know? Very small. By comparison to the significance of the election, this is as significant as a national election, you know, and people
like
didn't
I say, a lot of people lost faith in the system. There's a lot of souls out there who've lost faith, and there's a lot of people who just lost their souls. And, you know, but in either case, these are people that we need to tap into. On the other side of the break, Vinny, I think we should talk some of those numbers from the breakdown of Auckland's Super City election. I think they're very telling. I think they tell a different story than a lot of people were anticipating. But I was disappointed regionally wise. I was encouraged in my local district to see the UN promoter leftists all left for dead, even though they had a media bias towards them and huge publicity.
Yeah!
And I was glad to see common sense prevail there, people saying that cars should drive 15 kilometres an hour down beachfronts and there should be carbon-free zones. I'm glad that they got run out of town. Bye-bye, guys. See you in 3 years.
That's right. No UN zones here, baby. And if you're trying to promote globalist slime bags taking over our backyard, you won't get an office. Oh, no. Unless, of course, you're running for prime ministership. Oh, the tyranny. You are listening. Well, maybe you're listening. Maybe you switched off if you're in New Zealand, if you're one of the scumbags that we insult on this show. You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will. And we'll be right back at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com.
You criticizing the Prime Minister, boy?
Welcome back to The Vinnie Eastwood Show on American Freedom Radio. Now, in the short segment, we wanted to break down the old Super City statistics, and Will, my man, has got the goss. Take it away, bro.
Well, leftist Len Brown won in a knee-jerk fashion from the right-winger Banks, 220,000 votes to Banks' 161. The next in line, Colin Craig, guy who I support, received 40,000 votes. So a quarter of the loser Banks. 40,000 in third place. In fourth place, it was down to around the 3,000s. And then there was a whole, there was, like I said to Vinnie before, about a dozen people. Penny Bright was one of them. I think she was around sixth or seventh, something like that, with 2,500 votes. But there's a whole bunch of people under Colin Craig. The next person had less than 10% of his votes. So quite amazing consolidation in three guys. I was expecting four, at least, pushing against each other. I thought Banks and Brown, Colin Craig and Penny Bright or someone else, or Brian or Williamson, but instead of that Williamson guy come fourth, down with like 3,600 votes or something. So really quite telling the story. That was, it really told the story to me. I said, small activist with a small budget gets 2,500 votes, but I think I could get that with a small video, to be honest. Well, you do a video in the right way and you post it around the place.
I did heaps of videos for Penny and, still.
Well, that's probably the votes, but, it's just really hard, isn't it? It's just really hard. I mean, Colin Craig spent all that private money. You could say he didn't get anything, but then again, 40,000 votes is quite a lot, considering the winner got 200,000. So, it's interesting. Now I think I know strategically what sort of audience we need to tap into there. And the good thing about that is, Vinny, is I think that if we are coming from a conservative libertarian point of view, I'm not asking you to. I know I kind of come from that, but I'm a bit more out of the box than Colin Craig is. He's tapping into a big audience there. He was stealing votes. He was competing for votes from John Banks' audience, really. From the traditional right-wing crowd into a bit of a more libertarian right-wing crowd. And you got 40,000 people, so it shows there's a big unsung group there. And they're not going to be happy with Len Brown.
Well, perhaps they can help us in some way through public pressure to keep tabs on old Len Stolan Brown, you know, because as mayor of the Super City, he's now basically got free rein to enslave us all and sell us off all our assets to multinational corporations. And because he's on the left and promises that he won't do that, everybody will just sit back and relax. It's just like when Barack H. O'Barry got elected and they put a black face on the new world order. Everybody just sits back and goes, oh, okay. Well, there must
be
okay.
A smiley
it must
face.
Be okay.
He's a smiley face, you know, heart-pulling, hugging leftist. Sorry for the cliche, but, I mean, and that's what he is. He's a Tony Blair. He's a Bill Clinton. He's a, you know...
It's funny you should say that.
It's a lying turd. That's what he is.
That's exactly what our producers said about him. He's a Clinton. He's a Barack H. O'Barry. And this is why people are so disenfranchised with the voting system. Because the people that represent your views never get into public office without your unconditional, huge, quantitative support. Which is quite rare these days when everybody's so divided and enslaved. You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com on American Freedom Radio. Oh, God. What was it? What were we talking about over the break? Oh, yes. Our rail system. Now, this is an interesting one. Public transportation. What's the point of public transport? You know, is it to get people from A to B? Well, yeah. Is it to, I don't know, hustle off transport costs to multinational corporations? Yeah. As is happening in New Zealand, which is quite lovely, frankly. We've got a fabulous, what would you say? False rightist, perhaps? Commie? What name? John Key.
Centrist.
Centrist, yeah. Whatever ist that the scumbag fits into, or like a cyst, you know, that bite into a burger and fill your mouth up with that cyst. That's the kind of John. That's the kind of Prime Minister we got. It's a big disgusting one. Anyway, what was he doing? Oh yes. We had this big debacle right before the election where Kiwi Rail, you know, our national carrier, so-called, was bought back from private corporations after being sold at the behest of the World Bank, of course. And it turns out that John Key had shares in that rail company. And then he tried to flush out commercially sensitive information from the ombudsman to see how it would affect his shares, right? And then when it was complained about, the Office of the Auditor General decided to do nothing. And so old Penny Bright, is a good friend of ours, decided to file a private prosecution against him. And lo and behold, the government buys back Kiwi Rail. John Key probably raked it in. And guess what's happening now? They're now taking that asset, which we bought, which we could be running ourselves, and lease it out to Veolia of France. Now that's keeping New Zealand sovereign and free, isn't it? exact same thing is happening everywhere, I would have a hunch on. You know? Sure, our American listeners will completely understand how the government is just that incompetent and just that evil and run by globalist scumbags that keeping anything in the public trust for the public benefit is not part of the game, and it will not happen whilst we still have New World Order puppets in control.
Well, this is, once again, Vinny, this is part of the exploitation of misinterpretations of conservative values, meaning that the left are anti-corps and the right's therefore somehow by default meant to be pro-corporation, which somehow they interpret to mean pro-selling everything off to foreign private corporations. But that isn't conservatism in its true sense. There's still some state ownership, like a proper state-owned bank, for instance, not an illegal private bank, for instance. You know, and there's still, and you know, public transport isn't something that really excites me like it does a lot of people. I really, you know, couldn't give a damn sometimes. But the essence still remains that, yeah, in principle, we shouldn't be selling out public assets that people have paid for generations for, in some cases, at exorbitant rates, you know, in the form of local and national taxes, central government taxes. They shouldn't be passed off indiscriminately without due process, without binding referenda, to select friends of John Key or John Banks or anyone else for that matter. No way.
Oh.
And then if you look into the background, like Penny was saying on Friday, like if you look into the background of a lot of these connections, look into the background of the board control of Veolia, for instance, or Metro Water, you will find some weird goings on. But, you know, people say that's conspiracy theorizing, whatever. I'm just saying, look, you want to look at who's running a lot of these corporations, you find it's not just business for the sake of business. That's some of the left want to say. Oh, it's just greed. Oh, it's just money. Oh, it's just right-wingers. It's just what they do. No, no, no. You find that there's some deeper connections going on. There's some actual palsy-wowsy and funny handshake crew stuff going on.
Funny handshake crew. Yeah. Hey, you know what we should do? We should do like a fake video of like pretend Masonic hand signs. You know how those if you've ever seen Pound, it's a little video that you can watch on YouTube. These guys do this handshake, and the handshake lasts for about 3 minutes with hundreds of different moves. And I was going to do that. I wonder if you could do like a 100-move Masonic handshake.
What if you wanted to be, if you want to be initiated into the first 3 degrees, you just need to watch a Jay-Z music video. I mean, seriously.
Yeah. I'm going to save humanity.
He gets to those big concerts. Everyone put their hands in the air and they're all doing the Illuminati pyramid signs straight out of zeitgeist. You know? Have you seen that? Big pictures, 30,000 people all doing this Illuminati stuff, and they're just getting off on it, you know. All power to Satan.
Yeah. And speaking of which, we've got a wonderful article here on guerrillamedia.co.nz. New Zealand's role in the New World Order. This is a press release by Victoria University, one of the prominent universities in the capital. And this guy, Professor Liu, right, trying to say that the Asian and Islamic cultures are beginning to, you know, grow in power and influence, domination, and that Western society is now going to have to be brought into the fold and change, right? And what's the role in the New World Order, right? And Professor Liu says that the rise of China as a global power presents considerable challenges to the dominant Western way of seeing things, you know, like having freedom and not having your organs harvested for no good reason. And he says that the Chinese model of benevolent authoritarianism is in contrast to our Western liberal democratic traditions.
Benevolent.
I know.
Oh, these scumbags, man. We're not going to submit like a whole 1.2 billion people do, sorry, and you can say that's racist, but you guys are cowards.
Yeah. Well, you know, Chairman Mao took over the whole of China with 1% popular support simply by walking into places, putting a gun to the town elder's head and saying, you know, you're either going to vote for Chairman Mao or this bullet is going to go through the back of your skull. And naturally...
Yeah, they talk about honour.
Yeah, and naturally, everybody who refused to vote for a tyrant died. And he continues, yet it has been fundamental to the rapid economic growth of China and other East Asian societies in recent decades. Oh, enslave everybody quite literally because it's good for economic growth. And I'm sure that the American listeners will completely understand this. After all, slavery in the United States made it a very, very potent economic power, didn't it? And nowadays, slavery is quite different. Now,
look, China's just in the same phase. China's going through the phase that America did sort of 50 years ago, you know, with its rampant commercialization and now use of resources according to the eco crowd. It plays into all their camps, you see. A growth of the economy, read increased amounts of debt and bondage and servitude of Chinese people to the foreign central banks once again. And at the same time gives an excuse to all the leftists or the climate change crowd going, oh, well, they're expanding too fast. India and China and their use of steel and copper and carbon-based fuels, you know. So they just want all sides here. And they'll get all sides too. They'll get everything one day.
Yeah, it's fun being a slave, isn't it? Well, and he also says that one of the greatest challenges facing the world today is for these two different cultures to coexist in harmony. And it's like, at what point have vastly different cultures actually ever coexisted? One chooses to try and dominate the other, as history shows, right? And he says that the only other option, of course, the only other option, other than everybody becoming totally centrist and allowing themselves to be enslaved under Chinese indoctrination, he says the only other option is a clash of civilizations, and that is not an option because it effectively means the end of the world as we know it. I don't know about you, Will, but I know the world to be an incredibly corrupt, disgusting place full of scum that try to bankroll the New World Order and enslave the rest of us.
Yeah, I'll take option two, thanks.
I'll take option three, you know.
if he's saying there's only two options and one's going to be a big clash and a war with them, then bring it on. You know, like, seriously, we're not going to go and sit back and just go, oh, good, we're going to just work and yeah, and everything's good. I mean, come on, pals. I mean, like, I'm trying not to be mean or racist or culturally insensitive here, but I look at some of these nations and it sickens me, man. It really does. Because they have so much potential and they're so intelligent, and they are, and India is one of the most technically intelligent, you know, in terms of how a lot of these people are engineers across the gender divide also. So many female engineers in India, such intelligent people. And they rent themselves out for 20 rupees an hour to scumbag Silicon Valley corps out of the southern states like Bill Joy and Sun Microsystems and all these globalist New World Order people, and they make half the microchips that go into people's bodies, and they, you know, no morality, no substance, no spine, no sense of resistance, but a lot of brain power that feeds into their system.
Yep. It's pretty convenient when you got over a billion plus slaves. And speaking of which... Oh, well, in fact, this isn't relevant at all, but I want to switch gears here a little bit. EPA to regulate dental mercury. Finally! This comes from 30th of September, Consumers for Dental Choice, written by Charlie. The EPA announced that it will regulate dental mercury. The move is a blow to the pro-mercury American Dental Association, the ADA, which has lobbied for a voluntary approach to preventing dental mercury pollution. The ADA's way of doing nothing to stop pro-amalgam dentists from dumping their mercury into our environment. Mercury released by amalgam-using dentists pollutes our water, our air, our land, and resulting in devastating environmental health effects. Incidentally, you can't buy any light bulbs now in the United States. Or, well, not that you can't buy them. but they can't be manufactured anymore. You can't get any of the incandescent light bulbs no more. You have to have the mercury ones. Isn't that a bright future? Pardon the pun. As the EPA explains, once dental mercury enters the environment, quote, certain microorganisms can change elemental mercury into methyl mercury, a highly toxic form that builds up in fish, shellfish, and animals that eat fish. Fish and shellfish are the main source of methyl mercury exposure to humans, and methyl mercury can damage children's developing brains and nervous systems even before they are born. And this is, of course, you know, why you need to protect children from this terrible mercury exposure by pumping it directly into their veins through vaccines. Giving credit where it's due, this move by EPA dismantles the agency's midnight deal with the ADA. This memorandum of understanding put the ADA in charge of environmental safety and dental offices, permitting a predictably ineffective program of voluntary amalgam separators. And of course, the dental industry back in the day, I forget how long ago, prominently gold teeth were used as the replacement for rickety old teeth in your head, right? And then the ADA came in and said, hey, all these people who are trying to give you gold teeth and silver teeth and all that stuff that doesn't poison you are evil scumbags that are trying to rip you off because it's way too expensive, and so therefore we should pump your head full of mercury instead because it's cheap. Oh, the tyranny. Now, a device for catching dental mercury before it goes into the water, well, that would be pretty nice, wouldn't it? But the only problem was it's voluntary, so obviously all the people who are trying to push dental amalgam, New World Order scumbags, probably won't want that to happen. It was like putting Colonel Sanders in charge of the chicken coop, you know? Arr, I'm going to eat the chicken. Consumers for Dental Choice teamed with environmental groups to protest this outrageous agreement and demand regulation. Last spring, we helped organise a congressional hearing to address the failure of ADA's voluntary approach and the ever-increasing hearing problem of dental mercury pollution in our air via crematoria especially. Now, that's something you didn't know, did you? Something I certainly didn't know. The old mercury becomes vaporized when the bodies get incinerated, and then it all goes into the air, and anybody is anywhere near, and indeed the environment that's anywhere near around.
Vinny, what's you done on stream?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What do you want?
Yeah, I'd love it if somebody would, after my death, dissolve my sins by melting me down and flushing me down the toilet. In response, EPA will propose a rule to regulate dental mercury in 2011. We will have the opportunity to submit public comments before the rule is finalised in 2012, and we must now roll up our sleeves and participate in the rulemaking process, lest the ADA lawyers and lobbyists gain exemptions that eat up the rule. Taken the significant step forward in the fight against dental mercury thanks to three environmental heroes. Number one, Michael Bender, just call him Bender, of the Mercury Policy Project, who organized the environmentalists, then relentlessly demonstrated to EPA that the voluntary approach is a ruse. Number two is somebody who I did like, and then as soon as he supported Barack Obama, I kind of, Congressman Dennis Kucinich, who chaired the hearings that put EPA's feet to the fire. And number three, Lisa Jackson, administrator of the EPA, who defied the ADA lobbyists and did the right thing. I'm sure Congressman Kucinich, Dennis.Kucinich at mail.house.gov, and Administrator Jackson, jackson.lisa@epa.gov, would enjoy hearing from you.
Dennis Kucinich is actually one guy on the left who I give credit to, as I do Cynthia McKinney, because at least they have spine and substance over things that are outrageous, like obvious criminality. You know, like they don't just make excuses for their own camp because it's their own camp all the time. And so I give them a little bit of credit there. Just a side note. not just supporting one camp in any particular way at all, because I, you know, I hate the fact that Ron Paul is even in that neocon party, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah, but you know, it's like you said with the Super City election, Colin Craig going after the conservative voter. I think that Ron Paul is operating on a similar platform, standing as a mainstream candidate so that you will actually get votes. Seems like not too bad an idea. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, and we're right back soon. Welcome back! Welcome back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Sorry to cut off the Jimmy, but sometimes it has to be done. And we're talking about, over the break, about scumbags, and I have a perfect example. Big Pharma, right? Speaking of Big Pharma, did you know that Kucinich... who in general I actually like and agree with his take on things, voted for Obamacare. Major arm twisting going on, methinks. But in either case, Big Pharma hired ghostwriters to distort truth about hormone replacement therapy drugs. This is from S.L. Baker of Natural News. When medical journals and journal supplements publish scientific information about drug research, you know the information has been carefully reviewed and is accurate and factual, right? Wrong. It's now been documented that Big Pharma has literally paid writers to twist the truth about bad outcomes and to sneak distorted information and marketing messages into so-called serious medical journal articles. Those facts have been revealed by the first academic analysis of 1,500 documents unsealed in a lawsuit against pharmaceutical giant Wyeth, who is now part of Pfizer. Seeing all these massive corporations start to bind in on themselves like this enormous snake mating ball. The litigation was filed in July of last year against menopausal hormone manufacturers by 14,000 plaintiffs, whose claims related to the development of breast cancer while taking the hormone therapy H2 Prempro, or a conjugated equine estrogens. That's right. Inject yourself with female horse hormones. That's bound to be good for you. The shocking facts that came out during the case resulted in a U.S. federal court decision to release the documents to the public. An investigation of these documents, which is just published in the PLOS Medicine, reveals precisely how pharmaceutical companies use ghostwriters to insert what amounts of ads in disguise into articles published in medical journals and journal supplements. It's been happening the whole time. I mean, who owns all these journals? All New World Order companies, apparently. For example, Dr. Adrian Fu-Berman, associate professor in the Department of Physiology at Georgetown University Medical Center in Washington, D.C., analyzed dozens of ghostwritten reviews and commentaries about Prempro, which were published in medical journals and journal supplements. She found that facts were manipulated within the articles to promote unproven benefits and to downplay the harms of Prempro. Anybody know what chemical warfare is? Go ask Big Pharma. They know. What's more, the articles were deliberately written in a way to place any competing therapies in a negative light. Public relations, perception management. Trying to make people think that these drugs are good, and anybody who promotes any kind of therapy that doesn't involve pumping you with huge amounts of poisonous psychotropic medications is really, really bad. These articles were widely circulated to physicians directly, as well as to Big Pharma drug reps who used them to convince doctors about how wonderful Prempro was and why the drug should be prescribed. And prescribed it was by the millions. And I'm sure all of the doctors that said, oh, let's prescribe this to you, weren't on the take. We know better. She found that facts were manipulated within the articles. All right. So how did Wyeth accomplish this misleading spinning of medical information to sell more drugs? The Big Pharma giant hired a medical education and communication company designed right to produce the ghostwritten articles. All right? When you hire an outside company that is a PR firm, what you get is what you pay for. Any pharmaceutical industry that pays a PR firm to get something, they won't tell the truth. All right? Because they're being paid to come up with real good lies. All right? PR is pretty straightforward, people. It's lies in a can. The hired writers were instructed to mitigate the perceived risks of breast cancer associated with hormone therapy and to defend and promote alleged cardiovascular benefits of hormone therapy, even though the supposed facts presented were unsupported by any scientific evidence. Wyeth doesn't stop there either. The drug company also had the ghostwriters push for off-label, unproven uses for hormone therapy for the prevention of dementia. Yeah, of course it'll prevent dementia, because you'll probably die before you can go crazy. And Parkinson's disease. Yep, because after you're dead, you stop shaking, pretty sure. Vision problems, because if you can't see that you're being lied to, you've probably got your eyes closed already and won't be able to see anything no matter how much H2 you take. And even wrinkles, you know? Because, you know, when you die young, you leave a good-looking corpse, according to Dr. Few Berman. Putting an accurate and misleading spin on scientific research to pump up drug sales was a profitable business for Wyeth and costs at Design Right, who did the spinning, made out well too. The analysis revealed that Design Right was paid 25 Gs, $5,000, to ghostwrite articles reporting clinical trials, including 4 manuscripts of trials of low-dose PremPro. In addition, Design Right was assigned to write 20 review articles about the drug, for which they were paid $20,000 per article. $200,000 to lie. How many out there could refuse such a thing, particularly if you're already employed by the company? Doesn't matter that it's going to be prescribed to 1 million-plus people. Doesn't matter that it's all a lie. Just as long as you get your $200,000 for the 14,000 people who will complain and say that, oh my God, I'm really, really sick. Out of the million that get sick, only 14,000 complain. Because the vast majority of the million are too sick to get up and make a phone call. Given the growing evidence that ghostwriting has been promoted as a method of pushing hormone therapy and other highly promoted drugs, the medical profession must take steps to ensure that prescribers renounce participation in ghostwriting and to ensure the unscrupulous relationships between industry and academia are avoided rather than courted, Dr. Adrienne Few Berman concluded in her study. Have a look at that article on gorillamedia.co.nz and also Natural News. And, you know, it's not rocket science, really. Everything's a lie. You know, I mean, it's pretty straightforward, I would have thought. Whatever the government tells you, or whatever the medical establishment tells you, or whatever the educational institutions tell you, is most likely untrue. You know, pretty straightforward. I don't care is the ultimate response to that. Right? People don't care. When you tell them things like this, it becomes a huge big
how
nothing.
Do we put care back in them, Vinny?
How do you put care back in them? Maybe we can create a care vaccine. Injected directly into the eyeball. You know? Let's see how little you care when we're injecting a massive needle into your eye socket, baby. Imagine that. Imagine a fascist truther, right, who will kill people if they don't accept that the New World Order exists and don't want to fight against it. You know, and I'm sure there's plenty of people out there who would agree with that sentiment.
Are you describing the climate changes? I actually think that people do have intelligence and do have care, even if we don't sometimes see it. I think it's misdirected into using their brain to whatever menial tasks they need to do for a job to pay their bills, and caring only about making money to pay their bills. if you took that pressure away from them, you'd realize they'd become a lot better people. They start actually caring about their surroundings, not just their pragmatic needs because of the monetary system. Some people can do both. Some people can't. Some people can't do one or the other. That's all I put it down to, really. Different tolerance levels, different interest levels, skill levels. Yeah. Well, I think most people do care. Otherwise, they wouldn't. You know, if you really didn't care about anything, would you even be participating in the system? Would you? Would you? You'd have to be mad.
Well, people are. I think madness is kind of code for suicidal nihilism. You know, I don't believe in anything. I don't care. I want to die. I want to, you know, lie on an inflatable floaty thingy in a pool, drinking whiskey all my life. It'll be fantastic.
Fantastic.
You know. It's really rudimentary retards. And I don't know.
Some people are like that, eh? They just want to lie on a beach. I always want to lie on a beach forever and just drink it up and anything else. Well, look, have you done that for like an hour? Have you done that for about an hour? It's boring, guys.
Yeah. It's boring unless you're drinking with somebody who's fun to talk with. You
it's
know?
It's boring.
And therefore, the entertainment isn't the alcohol. The entertainment is the company you keep. Okay, all these things that have been created to, you know, help waste your time more effectively, you know, drugs, alcohol, television, computer games, all of this, all of these distractions, all right, they're designed specifically to get you to experience great things whilst you're doing absolutely nothing, okay? Human beings people were forged in the fires of adversity, okay? All of our ancestors actually had to fight to survive, and that made them strong, okay?
And now they're fighting on battlefields.
Yeah, and they were in real life-threatening situations in day-to-day life just for survival, right? And nowadays, you don't have to fight for your survival at all. So you become complacent, you become disingenuous, you become lazy, and you become pathetic scum, all right?
Can I correct that statement? You do have to fight for your survival. It's just it's not so apparent to people.
Yeah.
Because you've got walls around you and a roof over your head if you're lucky. And so the battle to live through the night each night isn't as obvious as it was when your ancestors were fighting cave bears. And so because of that, people think they can turn into these complete fake, facile retards.
Yeah.
And you know what? They've succeeded.
Yeah, I call it psychological castration. You know, mentally, you get your cojones cut off, you know, and then when you've got the opportunity to, fight, make a difference in this world, actually stand for something, you choose not to because you're not a human anymore. You're just, a snail. You know, or a cockroach, or some other description of insignificant organism that has little effect of its surrounding environment in terms of the way things work on a fundamental basis. I mean, in the early 1900s, a great realization by titans of industry was that we were producing far too much products for people to consume. So the obvious solution to that is to increase people's wages and to reduce their working hours. So not only does the standard of living get increased because people are now capable of spending more leisure time, more ability to think, and be able to buy more products, instead of doing that, they said, whoa, hold on a second. That's going to decrease profits. What we have to do then is launch a massive PR campaign to make everybody think that they need more and more and more products each and every day in order to be happy. Total misinformation, total lies, okay? You ask anybody what makes you happy, it's not your car, it's not your Mac computer, you know, although I really do like my Mac, it's not the thing that makes me happy. It's the people that you live with, social interaction, okay? Those are the things that really have real value in human society.
It's a hierarchy of needs, isn't it? It's a hierarchy of needs, and you start getting to the top of the hierarchy of needs, and you see what's there. I mean, it's the things that no one touches on these days. That's what's at the top of the hierarchy of needs. And at the bottom of the hierarchy of needs is everything that everyone obsesses over. That's how we've degraded as a society. I'm not saying that Maslow's hierarchy of needs is the be-all and end-all and the ultimate definition of life, but there's some truth to it. There's some logic to it. And food, water, and shelter are right down the bottom. They're right down the base of the pyramid. And they're essential, but they're not the pinnacle of existence. Understanding who you are, reflect upon who you are, and some sort of spiritual understanding outside of yourself is probably the pinnacle of the human experience. But no one wants to go there. Well, there's a whole bunch of charlatans and frauds trying to sell that idea to people and market that, and then keep people within another control paradigm. There's a whole industry in that.
Yeah.
One such facility is opening up across the road from New Zealand's biggest mall, Sylvia Park. There's a controlled opposition church opening up there within a few weeks, City Impact Church from Australia. Huge group. It's going to threaten the current domination of a guy by the name of Brian Tamaki we have over here. But, I mean, these are the marketers of your spiritualism these days.
Oh, yeah, with the $300 designer underpants. I bet he is holier than thou wearing those over his tackle. You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com, and we'll be right back.
Black sunrise,
we're back.
Coming over the sky. Black sunrise, always gonna be.
Speaking of black sunrise, report finds increased solar activity may cool the Earth. This is in from the Daily Mail, printed on the 7th of October. A puzzling discovery has raised a question mark over the sun's impact on climate change and could provide ammunition for skeptics. I love it how they still call the climate deniers skeptics as opposed to scientists, rational thinkers, and people that don't want to be enslaved. Until now, it's been assumed that less activity from the sun equates to less warming of the Earth. But the new research, which focuses on a three-year snapshot of time between 2004 and 2007, suggests the opposite may be true. As solar activity waned at the end of one of the sun's 11-year cycles, the new data show the amount of energy reaching the Earth at visible wavelengths rose rather than fell. And several giant sunspots crossing the face of the sun, and the amount of solar activity may in fact have negligible effects on the Earth's climate. Isn't that strange? Scientists believe it may be possible that during the next upturn of the cycle, when sun activity increases, there might be a cooling effect at the Earth's surface. A further twist arises from the fact that over the past century, overall solar activity has been increasing, even though the temperature hasn't. If the new findings apply to long as well as short time periods, this could translate into a small degree of cooling rather than slight warming effect shown in existing climate models, which are all computer models and are about as realistic as Grand Theft Auto 4. It would effectively turn received wisdom on its head. Skeptics are likely to say the results further undermine the reliability of climate change science, especially with regard to solar effects. I thought that they didn't include solar effects in climate science, because obviously the sun has no effect on the climate. Only carbon dioxide does. And Professor Joanna High from Imperial College London, who led the study, said these results are challenging what we thought we knew about the sun's effect on our climate. However, they only show us a snapshot of the sun's activity and its behaviour over the 3 years of our study, which could be an anomaly.
We cannot jump to any conclusions based on what we found during this comparative short period, and we need to carry out further studies to explore the sun's activity and the patterns that we have uncovered on longer timescales. Kind of like how vitamin C is not a approved or widely used medicine because they need to do further research, even though everybody who gets injected with it gets cured of whatever the hell they're suffering from.
Yeah, Vit C is dangerous, but all those cocktails of synthetic or organic chemistry compounds are, you know, they're perfectly safe.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. No problems with those whatsoever. You'll be all G unit. Now, the rising sun lights up the sky as low-lying clouds sit along the horizon in Wyoming, and researchers have warned against jumping to any conclusions based upon what we've found during this comparatively short period. However, if further studies find the same pattern over a long period of time, this could suggest that we may have overestimated the sun's role in warming the planet rather than underestimating it. Speaking at a news briefing in London, she denied that it would fuel skepticism about climate change research. I think it doesn't give comfort to the climate skeptics at all. Oh, the climate skeptics. F you, climate cultist. It may suggest that we don't know that much about the sun. It casts no aspersions at all upon the climate models. You know what's funny about climate cultists is no matter what research comes up in opposition to their belief structure, they say it doesn't make any difference. You know?
They make it.
Hey, seriously, even if every single bit of science in Al Gore's presentation was proven to be a 100% lie, like proven, 100% proven, climate cultists would still say it doesn't prove a thing because they don't care about proof. It's not about proof. It's a religion, okay? That's why we call them climate cultists. It's the cult of climate change. They pray to the church of climatology, all right? They sacrifice things to their god, all right? They sacrifice their lifestyle, and they will eventually start to sacrifice you. Now, this research published in the journal Nature is based on a data from a satellite called SORCE, or Solar Radiation and Climate Experiment, which has been measuring the sun's energy output at X-ray, ultraviolet, visible, and near-infrared wavelengths. Professor Haig's team found that above an altitude of 28 miles, concentrations of ozone in the atmosphere increased as total solar output decreased. The ozone rise accompanied a steep fall in levels of ultraviolet radiation. Closer to the ground, an increase in visible radiation caused heating of the lower atmosphere. At face value, the data seemed to be incredibly important, Michael Lockwood, a space physicist at the University of Reading, told Nature.com. And if solar activity is out of phase with solar radioactive forcing, it could change our understanding of how processes in the troposphere and stratosphere act to modulate Earth's climate. The findings could prove very significant when it comes to the understanding and quantifying natural climate fluctuations, he added. But no matter how you look at it, the sun's influence on current climate change is at best a small natural add-on to man-made greenhouse warming. All the evidence is that the vast majority of warming... When he says all the evidence, I just want to read this because it's the last line of the article before we all the evidence is that the vast majority of warming is anthropogenic. It might be that the solar part isn't quite working the way we thought it would, but it's certainly not a seismic rupture of the science.
It's all anthropogenic. It's all man-made. Like that Facebook link you sent me, Vinny, about WWF promoting this climate change religion. Do you know that had the World Wildlife Fund, 458,000 people liking that stuff, and 500,000 people out there. And you think the truth movement's big and then just get brought down to earth by that, don't you?
Nah, not at all, because I don't underestimate the power of a small, determined minority full of intelligent, free-thinking individuals and patriots from fighting back against filthy, degenerate, useless, pathetic, unthinking, slime, scum, pieces of crap like WWF, financed by Rockefellers and New World Order scum. They won't amount to much because they didn't create anything that they're doing. They're pathetic, uncreative, and useless to society in general. Thank you for listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will, and we'll be back with more positivity tomorrow.